We turn in sacred scripture to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. The text is verses 13 through 22. We will not reread that section. Ruth chapter 4. We come to the end of our series just in time for Christmas. This is the word of the Lord. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Now begin the words of the text. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we come to the end of our series on the book of Ruth. As we've gone through this series, we have seen the themes that stand out in this book. In the last few sermons, we have seen especially the theme of the kinsman redeemer. The book of Ruth shows us what the law of the kinsman redeemer is, how it is to be put into practice, and how it points to Jesus Christ. We've also seen in the book of Ruth the theme of God's providence. From big events like famines in the town of Bethlehem to small events like which field Ruth ended up gleaning in, all things are being directed by the hand of God's providence. We've also seen the theme of a Gentile, a Moabite, being brought into the church. The addition of Ruth into the Old Testament church was a foreshadowing and a sign that one day God would be pleased to gather his people from all the nations of the earth. In addition, we've seen some smaller themes from the book of Ruth. In chapter 1, we saw how God chastens his people who walk in sin. In chapter 1, we saw what true conversion looks like. And in chapter 1, we saw the repentance of Naomi. We saw what godliness looks like in the life of Boaz and in the life of Ruth and Naomi and their relationships with each other. And all these things help us to see the beauty and the depth of the meaning found in the book of Ruth. Yet, on top of all these themes, there is still one more theme that we need to mention. A theme that really ties all these other themes in the book of Ruth together. And that is the theme of God's faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful to his covenant people even when they are not faithful. We've seen that in every chapter of the book. God is faithful. He was faithful in sending chastisement upon Naomi and her family. In chapter 2, God was faithful in providing Ruth and Naomi bread in Bethlehem. Many other ways throughout the book, God has shown his faithfulness. Yet as we come to the end of the book, here at the end, we see that theme of God's faithfulness coming to its highest expression and emphasis. The theme of God's faithfulness finds its climax or apex when we read through the whole book of Ruth, and in the very last word of the book, we end with the name David. This is what the book of Ruth is leading to. And this is especially the demonstration of God's faithfulness. This is really the main canonical significance of the book of Ruth, that throughout all this history of Ruth and Boaz and Naomi and Elimelech, God was directing all things in his faithfulness to lead to the coming of the king. And not just King David, but the coming of the greater king. The king who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King Jesus. God's faithfulness in chapter 1, God's faithfulness in chapter 2, God's faithfulness in chapter 3, God's faithfulness in all kinds of ways in the book, and all the little matters in the earlier chapters of the book, all these faithfulnesses suddenly come together and work together so that God can show his faithfulness in working all this history to the coming, or for the coming, of Jesus Christ. And that's when you can look at all the little details in the book and say that it's a very beautiful book, and then you can step back and look at the book of Ruth in light of the bigger picture of all of history. You come to the last word and you say, well, it's even a more beautiful book than what we first thought it was. It's not just a story about Elimelech and his family. It's not just a story about Ruth and Boaz and their marriage. It's not just a story about God's faithfulness to a family in the town of Bethlehem. It's not even just a story about King David and the Old Testament people of God. It's part of an even bigger story. In fact, it's part of the story that stands at the very center of all of God's story of history. It's part of the history of King Jesus. It's part of the story that we celebrate and commemorate at Christmas time. So this is what we want to dwell on as we finish our series on the book of Ruth. In all the things that God did in the book of Ruth, God was working out his own purpose and plan to bring salvation to his people. God led Ruth to Boaz. God gave Boaz the ability to redeem Ruth. And God gave them a son named Obed. And God gave them Obed exactly so that through that son, God might one day give all his people a son. The son. His son. Jesus Christ. We take as our theme, a son is given. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, a blessing upon Ruth. We'll see how God is faithful there. Second, a blessing upon Naomi. And we see how God is faithful there. And third, a blessing upon the whole nation. All God's people. And we see God's faithfulness there too. In the text, we read about the birth of a son. That son was, first of all, a blessing upon Ruth. And the sermon this afternoon is kind of going to be a review and a reflection, really, of the whole book of Ruth. I think that's profitable. In order to see how this son was a blessing upon Ruth, we need to remember who Ruth was. First of all, Ruth was a Moabite. She came from a family of idol worshippers. She came from a people who had suppressed the knowledge of the true God and instead worshiped the creature rather than the creator. They were the people, in fact, who worshiped Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, part of a people who would offer their own infants to the fire as an offering to Chemosh. That's where Ruth came from. And she came from Moab. And Moab, if we remember, has been a plague upon God's people frequently. It was because of the very women of Moab, in the matter of Baal Peor, if you remember that. It was because of the women, the seductresses of Moab, that 24,000 people of Israel were killed. That's where Ruth comes from. And yet God, in his abounding grace, delivered Ruth from evil. He delivered her from the country of Moab. He worked true conversion in her heart. He made her one of his own children. And God brought her to the town of Bethlehem and to the fields of Boaz. And he blessed her. And here in the last part of chapter 4, we see how God blessed Ruth. First, we read in verse 13 that Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. Boaz took Ruth. And we mentioned this a little bit last time, but it's worth repeating. Boaz didn't just take Ruth as part of his property. Boaz took Ruth as his wife. And in so doing, he changed her entire identity. He took her away from being a stranger among God's people. And he took her so that she had a name and a place among God's people now. He took her away from the clutches of poverty and the emptiness of her widowhood and gave her rest and well-being. And Boaz took her to his own house to enjoy the friendship, intimacy, peace, and protection and happiness that comes with a godly marriage. He took Ruth out of the world of sin and darkness and brought her into his house. Ruth was blessed. Second, we read in verse 13 that when Boaz went in unto Ruth, the Lord gave Ruth conception. And that's language that stands out, isn't it? It doesn't say, and Ruth had a baby. It says, the Lord gave her conception. This was the Lord's doing, as conception always is the Lord's doing. But the significance of these words stands out all the more when you remember that Ruth had been married once before. And for 10 years in that marriage, the Lord had not given her conception. And now we read, God does give her conception. The fact that Ruth has a child is a wonder of God's work. And that whole event, that reality, makes you think of some of the other mothers of Jesus, doesn't it? Makes you think of Sarah, how the Lord gave her conception, and how she, through faith, was able to conceive seed. We think of Mary, of course, who experienced in her own way how the Lord works conception. All of this teaches that the coming of the king, the coming of Jesus, is all God's work. It cannot come and it will not come by the will of man, but it comes only through the gracious work of God. The book of Ruth adds to that theme found in the whole Bible. Ruth was blessed with conception. Ruth was blessed. And then third, we read in verse 13 that Ruth bare a son. And that son was named Obed. And there's a few interesting things to point out about Obed. First of all, it appears from verse 17 that the women who were her neighbors, Naomi's neighbors, they were actually the ones who named this baby boy. Verse 17 says, "And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, 'There is a son born to Naomi.' And they called his name Obed." That's interesting. And then second, the name Obed means servant, or he who serves. And the reason the women named the baby Obed was because they anticipated that he would be the one who would serve Naomi's well-being. He would be her protector in her old age, and he would provide for her in her old age. Or as they say in verses 14 and 15, he will be Naomi's kinsman redeemer. Notice for a second verses 14 and 15. "And the woman said unto Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he, Obed, shall be unto Naomi a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." The point is, in the birth of Obed, Naomi has someone who will serve as her protector and her provider in her old age. He will be a restorer of life to Naomi and a refresher or a nourisher of her in her old age. Now that name Obed, he who serves, is also very fitting, because this child would not just be used by God to take care of Naomi, he would also be used by God to continue the line of promise. The line of promise leading to Jesus was passing through Boaz and Ruth. And if Obed had not been born, that line would have ended. Yet this is exactly how this baby is going to serve God's purposes. Through this baby, God will continue the line of Jesus Christ. So this is a very fitting name from that point of view too. He will be God's servant, who will serve for the continuation of the seed of the woman. Well, in the birth of Obed, Ruth herself is richly blessed as well, because Ruth was blessed with the great honor of being one of the mothers of Jesus. And that's particularly striking. This is Ruth. This is a Moabitess. Was it 6 months earlier she wasn't even in the land of Israel? Well, plus 9 months for the birth of Obed. But this is her blessing. She, of all women living in Israel, she will be included as one of the mothers of Jesus. In Matthew 1, verse 5, Ruth's name is explicitly mentioned in the genealogies of Jesus, in the genealogy of Jesus, along with Sarah, or Tamar, and Rahab, Bathsheba, and Mary. And when you put all those names together, then you see that God delights to honor the lowly, and God delights to bring about the salvation of his people in the most unexpected of ways. You also see in those names the humility that Jesus took upon himself when he entered into our flesh. Jesus came from the stock of such people as Ruth, the Moabitess, Tamar, who acted like a harlot, Rahab, who actually was a harlot, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and lowly Mary, who was an absolute nothing, or nobody, who was an absolute nobody in the eyes of men. And yet, even though we see Jesus' humble ancestry in all these names, we also learn from these names the kind of people that Jesus came to save. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came for the needy. Jesus did not come to save the righteous. He came to save the ungodly. Now, Ruth doesn't know that this particular honor and blessing was hers at this time. The people of God in the days of David and Solomon, who read the book of Ruth, would have been thinking about it. The seed of the woman coming through David, coming through Ruth. But Ruth did know that she was blessed. She married into a very distinguished family among God's people. She married a man from the tribe of Judah. She married a man living right in the middle of the church, and an eminently godly man besides. Ruth was blessed indeed. Now she even has a boy to call her own, a sign itself that God was going to continue his covenant with her, Ruth and her family in the next generations. So a son was given to Ruth, and Ruth is blessed indeed. Now, in all that pertains to Ruth, what we must see is this. Our covenant God is faithful. He keeps his promises, and he always deals with his people just the way he has promised to deal with them. We need to go back a bit. Do you remember the blessing that Boaz spoke upon Ruth in Ruth 2, verse 12, when they met for the first time in his field? In Ruth 2, verse 12, Boaz says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And now, by the genius of God's own handiwork, God uses Boaz himself as the one through which that blessing would be realized. Boaz blesses Ruth, and he's the one whom God uses to bring that blessing on Ruth. But the point I want to make is that God is faithful. As Boaz says in that verse, Ruth has come to trust under the shadow of God's wings. Ruth is a woman who has completely cast herself upon the Lord's mercies and has held nothing back. Maybe we remember Ruth's conversion in chapter 1. Back in chapter 1, Naomi is telling Ruth and Orpah to stay in Moab. Go find you husbands of your own people, and God bless you in Moab. After all, what kind of future do you really have in Israel? And you remember how Ruth responded. Ruth says to Naomi, stop it. Quiet. Don't get in my way, and don't oppose me, Naomi, for I am going with you to the land of Canaan, whether you like it or not, whether you think there's a future there or not. I will leave. I will abandon my old life in Moab. I will forsake my family in Moab. I'm willing to lose everything in order that I might gain Christ. Whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people are my people, and thy God is my God. And what we emphasize when we look at that passage is that Ruth's attitude was this. The Lord is faithful, Naomi. The Lord will provide us what we need in the land of Israel if we cast ourselves upon the Lord. In the way of casting ourselves upon the Lord, the Lord will take care of us. That was Ruth's confidence. In contrast to Naomi's weak faith, Ruth had confidence. And the point is, here at the end of chapter 4, God has proved himself faithful to Ruth. More than faithful. To borrow the language of Boaz, the Lord has recompensed Ruth according to her work, and much more besides. Ruth doesn't just have a name and a place in Israel. Ruth is married to Boaz, and Ruth has a son. And Ruth's name will forever be famous as one of the mothers of Jesus. And all of this is how God has dealt with Ruth. Yes, we can emphasize that the faith of Ruth was itself the work of God. That's certainly true. But then even as God's grace worked in Ruth and Ruth lived out of her faith, God showed himself faithful to his elect daughter. Ruth just happened on the fields of Boaz? Boaz just happened to be a near kinsman? Boaz just happened to be a godly man? The near kinsman just happened to find Ruth undesirable for marriage? It just so happens that Ruth gets married and is given conception? The point is, it's all God. This is all God's doing. And all of this is God's faithfulness. As God leads his child who has completely committed herself unto the Lord, he is faithful with what he does with his child. Beloved, what an encouragement for you and me. Maybe there are some here who have had to make sacrifices like the sacrifices Ruth has had to make. I mentioned it already this morning, but maybe at Christmas time you feel those sacrifices that are quite similar to Ruth's sacrifice. Just think of what Ruth's own family back in Moab must have thought about her. Ruth, what a fool she is. What a traitor to her family. She's ruining her life by leaving her family and living in Bethlehem. Yet what does Jesus say in Matthew 19, verse 29? He says, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life." And then he goes on to say, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And we have a beautiful demonstration of the truth of those words here in the life of Ruth. Here is an earthly Old Testament picture of the spiritual truth that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 19. Ruth is blessed indeed, and God is faithful to his promises. To those whom God has called to be his own, those whom God calls also to do hard things for his glory, to them, God is flawlessly faithful, and he will never leave his people disappointed in the hope that they put in him. Their hope shall not be left ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. Well, with the birth of Obed, there is a blessing upon Ruth. We've just looked at that. There's also a blessing upon Naomi. And again, in order to see God's blessing upon Naomi, let's remember who Naomi was. Naomi was a sinner. She was the one who had forsaken the land of God, the house of the Lord. Naomi was the one who had chosen to go, of all places, to the country of Moab. And we've seen in previous sermons just how offensive this really was. At the time when God was chastening his people, at a time when Naomi and her family were supposed to be learning repentance, at a time when the church community back in Bethlehem could have used Naomi and her family the most, Naomi and her family decided to pack their bags and leave. And in the land of Moab, Naomi and her family learn what a foolish decision that really was. She lost her husband, she lost her two boys, she lost nearly everything. By the time she came back to Bethlehem, she said she was not Naomi anymore. She was Mara. She was empty. She had gone through such a bitter experience. That's chapter 1. Look where we are only 3 chapters later. We're at the end of the book, and Naomi has the biggest smile on her face that you ever did see. Here she is, a sinner, a poor sinner, a widow besides. But she's holding a baby in her arms. This baby is not just Ruth's baby. By the way that Naomi and her neighbors speak, this baby is just as much Naomi's baby as Ruth's baby. Perhaps even more. Naomi, who is past the age of childbearing, has received a child of the Lord. A child who will restore her to life. And a child who will provide for her and protect her in her old age. He will restore life to her. And not only does Naomi have a baby, she has Ruth as well. In chapter 1, she didn't realize how much of a blessing Ruth was going to be. But at the end of chapter 4, all the women in Bethlehem know the truth. Ruth is of greater worth to her than 7 sons. That's virtually the highest praise a woman could have received in the Old Testament from an earthly point of view. That also tells you just how rich with blessing Naomi is. She lost 2 sons, but now she has 8 sons. 7 sons in Ruth, one son in Obed. All the women could see that God was blessing Naomi. Do you understand just how happy Naomi must have been at the end of the book of Ruth? Well, all this, too, is because of God's faithfulness alone. The way that God dealt with Naomi in the land of Moab, that was part of his faithfulness leading her. The way that God had Ruth come along with Naomi back to Bethlehem, even when Naomi was encouraging her to stay in Moab, that was God's faithfulness to Naomi. The way God had Ruth serve for Naomi's good, even the whole matter of pursuing marriage with Boaz, that was God's faithfulness towards Naomi the whole time. God is faithful to his covenant people. And again, congregation, what an encouragement to you and me today. Maybe you feel yourself to be where Naomi was when she was in Moab. Maybe you feel yourself to be where Naomi was when she returned to Bethlehem and she was the gazing stock of the whole town. Maybe you feel yourself to be where Naomi was when she felt completely empty and she knew she didn't deserve any good thing from the Lord. Maybe you're wondering, why do I have to go through such difficult moments in life, always dealing with one trouble after another? Then pay attention for a moment. Look at where Naomi is now. Look at the smile on her face. Look at the love that fills her life. And above all, look at how she's enjoying the smile of God upon her. The point is, this God is your same God today. Naomi didn't deserve any good thing. But God is good. And God is kind. He is loyal to his covenant. And he knows exactly what is good for his people. And he knows exactly how to lead us. As Job said in the midst of his sorrow, God knows the way that I'm taking. God is leading me. I don't know where I'm going. God knows. And God is leading me to himself. That's what Naomi could say. He's not just leading us back to Bethlehem. That's what we can say. He's not just leading us back to Bethlehem. He's leading us to glory, where his smile beams eternally upon his people in brightness. Isaiah 61 verse 3 speaks of how God will give his people beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is clearly displayed in the life of Naomi. God is faithful to his people. Well, finally, not only do we see a blessing upon Ruth, not only do we see a blessing upon Naomi, we must also see a blessing here upon the entire nation of Israel. And here's where everything that we've said, we want it all to build together and reach its climax. We must see a blessing upon the nation of Israel. And that includes Boaz as well. Boaz himself was certainly blessed through all these events too. Boaz has a son, and children are a blessing of the Lord. Boaz has a wife, and whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. And Boaz too is given a place in the genealogy of Jesus. But this wasn't just a blessing upon Boaz, this was a blessing upon the whole nation. Through the birth of this son, God is preserving the line of the seed of the woman. Through the birth of Obed, God is working the salvation of his people. Through the birth of Obed, God is moving all of history one step forward, another generation closer to the salvation of his people in Jesus Christ. And then as soon as we say that this is God's blessing upon the entire nation of Israel, we must add that this is really God's blessing upon his people who are found in every age. This is God working the salvation not just of Old Testament Israel. This is God working the salvation of all his people. Really, in the birth of Obed, in the book of Ruth, God is speaking to all his people and he is telling them and telling us that just as surely as he has given this child to Ruth and Naomi by a wonder of his grace, so he also will give and has given us his son, Jesus Christ. That's really the significance at the end of chapter 4. From this child, Obed, will come the king, and not just King David. Maybe the book of Ruth was written during the during the days of David. Maybe Samuel wrote it. Maybe David wrote it. Maybe Solomon wrote it. No, we don't know. But God's people, during the lifetime of David and Solomon and going forward, they must have read it and must have seen how God was using this history to lead to the glorious kingdom that they were enjoying in the days of David and Solomon. But it's not just about King David. It's about King Jesus. Just as certainly as this child leads the people to King David, so this child will lead ultimately to King Jesus. Even the name itself, even the name Obed signifies this. The name Obed means servant. And just as Obed would be a servant to Naomi and be a restorer of life for Naomi and a nourisher of her in her old age, just so Jesus will be the Obed. Jesus will be the restorer of his people's life and the protector of his people. Because Jesus will be the one who goes through death itself, the agonies of the cross, in order to obtain for his people eternal life through the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus will be the one who will rise again from the dead so that he might also impart that life to his people and then nourish and strengthen and protect and care for his people in that life forever. You see, Jesus is the Obed. Jesus is the Boaz in the book of Ruth. He's also the Obed in the book of Ruth. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Unto Ruth a son is given. Yes. Blessed be the Lord. Unto Naomi a son is given. Yes. Blessed be the Lord. Unto the people of Israel a son is given. Yes. Blessed be the Lord. But there's also this. Unto us a son is given. Not Obed, but Jesus. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. And who will do it? Will Ruth do it? Will Naomi do it? Is this Boaz's work? Will you and I do it? Of course not. Who will do it? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. God will do it, because it all must be of God. It's either all God or nothing at all. And God will do it because he is faithful. He is zealous for the salvation of his people. This is what the book of Ruth is all about, beloved. We are like Ruth. You are the undeserving Moabitess. We are like Naomi. We are the foolish sinners. We are all like Israel. An unfaithful people. But God is faithful. And Ruth's story is our story. Ruth's story is your story, beloved. And for the happiness of his people and for the glory of his name, just as God gave Ruth and Naomi a son, so God has also given you and me a son. And he hasn't given us just a son. He's given us his son. He's given us his son, his only begotten son. God gives his son to be born in a manger, not only so that Mary might hold him in her arms. God gives his son to be born, not just so that Naomi might hold him in her arms or Ruth might hold him in her arms. God gives Jesus to be born in a manger. Exactly so that you and I as well might hold him in our arms. and we might possess the Christ child as our own, and we might possess him as the restorer of our life and as the nourisher of our lives, and we might possess that Christ child, that little babe, as our very own kinsman redeemer. You see, that's what the book of Ruth is all about. God gives his son, his only begotten son, so that we might have life. Just like Ruth and Naomi and the family of Elimelech are given life through this son, Obed. This is what the book of Ruth is all about. This is what Christmas is all about. That we might hold the Christ child in our own arms like Naomi did with Obed. And like Mary did, when she held the Christ child, we might ponder all these things in our hearts, and we might possess the Christ child as our own. And you know what? There's even more. There's even more. Although we come to the end of the book of Ruth, the fact is, we haven't yet come to the end of God's story, have we? What I mean is this. God has not only promised us the first coming of his son, God has also promised us the second coming of his son on the clouds of glory. And right now, here in 2020, you and I are just like so many characters in a book that's being written. Right now, it's as if the book of Ruth is still being written today, although now written with our lives and our stories, and we are the characters in God's book. We are God's people, and just like Ruth and Naomi, just like they were such ordinary people, so we are living such ordinary lives too. We go about our work, we're gleaning our fields, we go about our daily activities just like Naomi and Ruth. We're still inclined with all its sins included, just like Naomi and Ruth and their history. We are God's people, but God has still promises he has to keep. God has promised his people glory with Christ in the new heavens and new earth. And God has promised us that we will see Jesus Christ again, face to face. And God has promised that he will finish the good work that he has begun in us, and he will bring us to glory. And just as in the book of Ruth, God, in his unwavering faithfulness to his people, worked all things together for their good, so the message is still the same today. God is keeping his promises, and whatever path our lives take, God today, as he writes our stories, his story, he's working all things together in the end for the good of his people. Ruth's story is our story, beloved. And whatever story God has written for your life, beloved, this you must know. God is faithful. His promises will not fail. He will not disappoint his people who commit themselves unto him. He is the God of loving kindness, the God of steadfast covenant love, loyal to his people. So as we finish the book of Ruth, let's learn from this book. Let us remember what kindness means. Let us remember that idea of God's loving kindness, his faithfulness. And having that before our minds, let us then cling to all of God's promises and let us trust in him wholeheartedly. Let us rejoice in the birth of the Son who was given us 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And may the words that the neighbors of Naomi spoke to her in verse 14 be the words that we speak today too, and that we speak to the end of our days, and that we speak in this Christmas season. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left us this day without a kinsman. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy loving kindness. We pray that the beauty found in the book of Ruth may have been conveyed to us and we might enjoy it and take it in and bless thy name all our days in response. So use this preaching, use our study for a blessing upon our lives. Lead us and guide us. And may we celebrate the birth of the Son, thy Son, given to us, that in possessing him, we possess life everlasting and fellowship with thee. In his name alone we pray. Amen.